Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Keystone Sports Network. Dustin Hockensmith here with Greg Pickle once again. This is Ask Greg. These are your Penn State football, Penn State recruiting questions. We do it pretty much weekly all year round. We got some good questions on both of those fronts, I think, today. If you don't know, we will accept your questions in a number of ways. We are here to serve you. Namely, we have a lot of questions coming in. If you download the Keystone Sports app, just do a search on your app store for Keystone Sports. There's an Ask Greg button. You click that. You punch in your question. We will ask it on the air, answer it. If you don't want to do that, I don't want to know you, but send them by email to info@ksnsports.net or on Twitter @ksnsportsnet, @GregPickle too. You can fire questions there. So whatever you want to do, we will listen. We will ask Greg your questions. We're going to start with Jeremy from Pittsburgh. Says, hi, Greg and crew. This isn't about the crew, Jeremy. This is about Greg. I know it's early, but what do you make of the most recent weight room updates? Yeah. We did this earlier in the show, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. But
right. Yeah.
It is. I love this time of year where they release the roster because there's all kinds of little nuggets in there that you can find just by looking and comparing.
Yeah, there were a couple things that jumped out to me more than anything. Number one was, where is Nick Tarburton? Is he 260? Is he 243? Is he somewhere in the middle? Is he going to play linebacker, defensive line? Do they not know yet? Is the plan just to see how nature takes over? Are they trying to direct him in a certain way to obviously pick a position and stay at it? I don't know. I don't have the answers to those questions yet, Dustin, but I'm fascinated to know after the first roster had him at 260 and then the latest roster had him at 243. I'm sure we'll find out sooner rather than later, but it will be fascinating to watch where he ends up. The other one, Lamont Wade. Almost 200 pounds, 5'9", 200. He is a ball of steel, man. I mean, he is just thick, big arms, big legs. He is going to hit people at that position, too. Nick Scott now checking in over 200 pounds, 5'11", 202 for him. I think those are probably your starting two safeties. I really do. I know John Sutherland is a guy that's been talked about a lot, 5'11", 198. I think Tim Banks said he was a mini Marcus Allen at one point last year. I know he's going to be in line to have that conversation too, but you'll probably see a little bit of all those guys. We don't know much about Aaron Monroe, but safety is a position that's fascinating to me. At one point, Dustin, it seemed like the biggest liability. Now, with a simple move of Lamont Wade back there, it seems like it's a lot more. It's on firmer ground is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. So I think that's of note, too. Miles Sanders at 211 slimmed down a little bit. And we talked, too, about Damian Barber going up.
Yeah, 278, I think, is the number for Damian Barber. He's the other guy, the other notable position change. I know that's not directly having to do with the weight room, although in his case, 33 extra pounds definitely has something to do with the weight room. You can envision that frame at 6'4", whatever they list him at, 6'3", 278, as seeing a little bit of run if they need some help there, and you know right. that they do need some help there. The position changes are my favorite thing to watch for. I like to try to figure out who may or may not be a candidate to move. Lamont Wade makes a lot of sense. It wouldn't have been something that I would have predicted, but it makes a lot of sense. And what you have between him moving to safety, and I know we're drifting from the original question.
That's
sorry,
okay.
Jeremy. We're giving you more than you bargained for. Between him moving there and Isaiah Humphreys arriving there, you have two safety types with real legitimate ball skills.
Right.
You know, I think that Penn State has played without that. Really,
it's almost impossible.
For a long time.
Absolutely.
A long time, not a lot of ball skills. And it's not to knock the guys who are there. I think ball skills, you either have the ability to make plays on the ball or you do not.
Yep.
Marcus Allen made plays on the ball in the sense that he blew people up.
Right.
These guys will be able to create more turnovers on the back end. And
no.
I think that, you know, maybe you give up some of Allen's physicality, some of his run support to have, although with Lamont Wade, I don't think you're doing that.
Right.
But you have guys who can make impact plays back there.
No question about it, Dustin. I think that at the end of the day, Penn State for the first time in a long time will probably be near the top of the Big Ten in interceptions. It's something that, yeah, you're right. They've played without it. And they've survived without it, quite honestly. So it'll be impressive to see where this group ends the year, I think, in 2018.
What do you think about Lamont Wade when you talk about – I know he'll just be a sophomore, but his core ability suggests that the NFL is something that he can handle.
Sure.
upside at safety versus upside at cornerback. I think there's more upside at safety than I do at corner, because there's always going to be the big looming size question.
Right. At cornerback. That is the concern. I mean, you look at a guy like Christian Campbell, who, not to say he didn't have a good Penn State career, but considering some are saying he might be a top 40 draft pick, I would have never, ever considered that. But the NFL wants long corners, tall, and there's not many in this draft class, and there's not many out there, period. So I think you're right.
Who says he's top 40?
That came from Galco, the guy, our Optimum Scouting friend of the show. Yeah,
if he's not right, even if he's top 80,
but still be
that's
impressive.
Still better than what I would expect. And I think he did really well for himself at the Senior Bowl, so
right.
That helps.
So we'll see what he does at the Combine. It'll obviously be the next step for him. But, yeah, even if that's a little bit of an optimistic prediction, it tells you all you need to know about what NFL teams are looking for.
Dominic from Cranberry Township wonders, hey, Greg, who do you like in the Derby? I heard you will handicap anything.
Yeah, I will handicap anything. Way too far away from Derby season.
So not anything.
Well, we'll get there.
At the right time.
We will certainly get there. Yeah, no question about it.
Keep this on the back burner.
Let's
Dominic.
Let's come back to that at the end of March.
We'll probably discuss it in some way,
at
shape,
length.
Or form.
Yeah, come May.
We did last year anyway. We'll see. Bill from Philadelphia. Since Sider was hired, Franklin has mentioned Florida several times as a state of focus. However, he and Sider will need to battle Mullen, Taggart, Strong, Kiffin, Richt, among others, for the state's best talent. I know the PA 2019 class isn't the most talented, but with only two players offered, as he gambled like too much on pulling Florida talent.
Yeah, I don't understand that question, to be honest. I mean, we appreciate it, of course. And I think what the point is that Pennsylvania, for whatever reason this year, is just down a little bit compared to years past. It is. There's simply no way around it. And you can say that there's been some guys that Penn State has an offer that have gone, obviously received Big Ten or big time offers, Big Ten offers as it relates to Hayden Rucci, the Warwick kid that's now going to go play tight end for the Badgers. So it's not to say there's not offerable kids in Pennsylvania. Keep in mind, Penn State's going to have a small class here. I think 15 might be it. I mean, it is not going to be a huge group.
Not what you're used to seeing.
No, so you have to start with your top targets, no matter where they are. Penn State's at a point now where it can recruit nationally. Right now, it has a focus on Florida, on Texas, of course, the DMV and the Mid-Atlantic will always be key, but Dustin, it's just one of those years. I don't think it's anything to read into. I don't think they're putting too many eggs in one basket or anything like that. I think it's just the way the recruiting cycle worked out this year.
And, I mean, ultimately it comes down to Sider comes with certain assets, certain strengths, certain proven abilities, and the ability to recruit in Florida is one of those things.
Right.
For Penn State, for any program, really, but especially one that aspires to be a national player every single year, you have this push and pull of trying to protect and lock down talent in your home turf, but at the same time trying to extend your footprint and make use of the fact that for 2 years you've been a national player.
Yeah.
Getting into Florida, I think Penn State has shown signs of getting into new regions and establishing new areas, a new base, new pipelines, that kind of thing. Florida could be the next thing. I don't think it's a gamble.
No.
I don't think you're gambling too much on anything. I think the 18 class kind of proves that you should probably trust what the Penn State staff is doing here. You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Ask Greg, your Penn State football and Penn State recruiting questions. This goes into what we discussed in the previous segment about Journey Brown. Scott from St. Petersburg, Florida. Knowing Penn State used running backs to return kickoffs the past 2 years, who do you think has the best chance of returning kickoffs this year? Ricky Slade, Miles Sanders, or someone else?
Well,
I'm going someone else.
Yeah,
I don't know who all's in the field.
I don't know if Slade even a guy that would be considered. I don't even know if he did kicks in high school.
He does not strike. You know, well, one thing about Miles Sanders, he was probably built a little bit more traditionally than Ricky Slade coming out of high school.
Yep.
He also had a style of running that was more north-south. And between those two factors that made him an intriguing kickoff return guy, because that's the job,
right?
Is to find where you're going, follow your blockers, hit it, and go north south.
Yeah, no question about it. So it'll be interesting to me to see how this all ends up playing out. I think that when you look at the group of potential candidates, I think you'll hear a handful of guys batted around here. I mean, you look at who did it last year. Brandon Polk was listed as the third string guy. I don't know. Maybe he gets back into that mix. DeAndre Tompkins, we've heard a lot about. Journey Brown, we've heard a lot about. I mean, one of these guys is going to have to step up and do it. Mac Hippenhammer's been a name tossed in there. made his college debut over the weekend at Penn State Baseball, by the way. Pinch ran for the Lions there. So that's impressive, man. I know just a little bit off track here, but the fact that he's doing school, football workouts, and playing baseball is really impressive. But he could be a guy that's in that mix. KJ Hamler's a guy that's been talked about in that mix. I don't know, but I'll take the field there. I'm with you for sure.
Kick return, punt return, I think you could see some turnover at both of those spots, especially if DeAndre Tompkins is your surefire starter. If he's something close to an every down starter or wide receiver, you might not see him
right
in the return game. David from Lakewood Ranch, Florida. Back-to-back questions from Florida.
Jaywon
Sider isn't the only one going into Florida. Ask Greg, also recruiting Florida.
That's right, apparently.
With the limited number of scholarships available next year, what positions does Penn State have to focus on with its offers?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the biggest ones will be the. Well, I don't know if there's a position they have to focus on. Look, you're always going to want a couple offensive linemen. You're always going to want a couple defensive linemen. If you can find a plugger at defensive tackle, that's always good. I think that you're going to take a quarterback, maybe two. You're going to take a running back, a wide receiver, a tight end, at least one of each of those positions. You're going to look for maybe two or three guys in the secondary. So, I mean, we're probably getting close to 15 just by spitting out those numbers right now, and that's not to mention maybe a linebacker or two. So I think you probably will see this class, maybe more than other ones, be spread pretty – there'll be parity in this class. I don't think you're going to get four receivers or four linemen or, you know, six.
You don't have the luxury of doing that.
No. I think you're – in a perfect world, you're probably going to take your top two. If you could, you would take your top two at each position and then fill in with whatever's left. I wouldn't rule it out to see another specialist maybe come on scholarship. Blake Gillikin is very, very good. Where does Penn State go after him? Do they feel comfortable with the wall? And not to say that that needs to be addressed this year, but it could be addressed this year. You could see him bring in another kicker specialist if they don't feel like they have as much security at that spot as they need. So those things are in play as well. Does Penn State take a scholarship specialist in this class? If I was betting right now, I would say no. Do I think it's something that should be rolled out? No, I don't think that's the case either. So I think you're probably going to see Penn State take a top guy or two at each position and then fill in whatever cracks are left as this class goes on.
What is it, three scholarship specialists in the last two classes? Three classes.
Yeah, three. Yep.
Three in the last three classes. Jake Pinneker most recently. Let's go one more question. John Powers from Arlington, Virginia. Hi, Greg. A question about signing day. What's the point of closing the signing period just after a few days in December? Why don't they just leave it open and let players sign whenever they want after the December start date? Just wondering.
Yeah, it's a fair question. I think that mostly it's just so kids aren't getting bugged. So that dead period then starts over Christmas, and then it runs through the middle of January. So, and then they have the traditional signing day. So I think they just let the window be what it was, because coaches go out on the road recruiting younger kids, of course, during that January time once the dead period ends. So I think it's honestly a little bit of tradition and a little bit of just how busy the coaches are recruiting. But it's something to keep in mind, though, as we move along further in this December thing, how things might change in the future.
All right, we still got more Keystone Kickoff Show coming up. Brandon Pelter going to join us to talk Penn State wrestling, coming off a win over Buffalo going into the postseason. Stick around. Hey, Dustin Hawkinsmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.